fired the imagination of a generation in a ship like no other, its place in history secured. The space shuttle pulls into port for the last time. Its voyage at an end.
Welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. Manned spaceflight took us to the moon. Now, that was in the late 60s, and since then, it's been kind of a barren pursuit. But that space travel planted some serious dream seeds in more than a few would-be entrepreneurs. And those entrepreneurs turned into business people, and those businesses made money, like bank. As spaceflight literally went to the back burner at NASA, private spaceflight was ramping up, and one catalyst from one dreamer helped spur private spaceflight now. And that was the XPRIZE.
It started as these outsiders. It started as these mavericks. It started with these dreamers who had this seemingly impossible quest, which was to get to space without the government's help.
The XPRIZE was basically a bounty of investment prize money just waiting to be won in the Mojave Desert about 15 years ago. The XPRIZE and subsequent commercial spaceflight pursuits have attracted people like Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Paul Allen, Sir Richard Branson, even the grandson of Charles Lindbergh, Eric. And NASA's attention also got piqued, if not shamed, into reigniting manned spaceflight. Even President Obama has put a Mars mission on NASA's to-do list. Almost 100 years ago, Charles Lindbergh flew the Atlantic nonstop in search of a $25,000 prize. The XPRIZE dangled $10 million to push the envelope of manned space flight. And it sparked a commercial space industry that has gone from fledgling to competitive in just over a decade. Here's our chat with a veteran journalist and author of How to Make a Spaceship, A Band of Renegades, An Epic Race, and the Birth of Private Space Flight.
Julianne Guthrie, I'm a journalist and an author.
A journalist who has pivoted into a really dynamic part of what will be the economy, what is budding right now. But let's start at the beginning. Billionaires, boys club kind of thing, or are we looking at something much more impactful here?
Well, I think that it didn't start as billionaire boys club, really. It started as these outsiders. It started as these mavericks. It started with these dreamers who had this seemingly impossible quest, which was to get to space without the government's help. I mean, it was a really foreign concept when this began. So it was outsiders who set out to achieve, again, what only the world's largest governments had done before, with an incentive prize, with a crazy cast of characters in the Mojave Desert.
Right. One of the things that on page 131 here that I loved from Peter Diamandis, and I'm going to come back to him as kind of the crux of the book, is there is a strong technology available which helps humans in achieving difficult, sometimes seemingly impossible feats, ellipsis, the competitive prize. So tell me a little bit about the XPRIZE and Peter and your discovery process as you went through this, because this is truly a tale that is spun here.
It is, and it's very novelistic. It's nonfiction, but I hope that it reads like a novel. So Peter Diamandis is at the heart of this story, as you said. He was an 8-year-old boy in July 1969 when he saw Apollo 11 land on the moon. He was transfixed. He sets out on this dream to get to space on his own, or through NASA, realizes at one point he has to get there on his own, lands on this idea after reading The Spirit of St. Louis, that he should do an incentive prize. He learned that Charles Lindbergh flew in the 1920s, not as a stunt, but to win a $25,000 right. prize. He thinks, what if I could use an incentive prize to galvanize a private space industry, which didn't exist? He launches a $10 million prize in 1996. He didn't have the $10 million, but that's another fun part of the story.
That's right.
And so he puts out this call to all of those outsiders, all of those mavericks, all of those people who are not working for the government but have this seemingly crazy dream, and to try to build the world's first private spaceship. So that's how it begins. And then you follow Peter, you know, in his failures and his successes and, you know, getting a turned down more than 150 times as
right.
he's going after funding.
kind of coming off of a failed venture that not necessarily all of his fault, because the whole bubble was bursting at the time anyway. You're right. Novelistic is a great way to put this. And I have in my notes here, movie option? I don't know. It sounds like there might
be
one in
there.
It is
in the works. It is in the works. We're talking with a number of people. But I think it's really a great handbook for anyone who is trying to do something super challenging, both the incentive prize model and how you can bring in these outsiders to solve a problem that you have. And I think it's just it's a handbook about innovation and bravery and using technology to find a breakthrough.
Yeah. It's a story of verve, like you said, and forward thinking and dreaming. That's what I kept getting from chapter to chapter. The thread of the dream kept coming through.
Well, I love that, too. I mean, it really is. There's a ton of technology. There's a ton of innovation in the book. There are, you know, it's a story where history was made and this industry was launched. But it's really about personal dreams and figuring out how to achieve those, even with these enormous, seemingly insurmountable obstacles. And you have dreamers. You have, you know, the 63-year-old test pilot, you know, who tries to white-knuckle it to space for the first time. You have Eric Lindbergh, the grandson of Charles Lindbergh, who has to figure out how to be a Lindbergh on his own terms. You have Burt Rutan, this, you know, wild character in the Badlands of the Mojave Desert, who has to figure out technologically how do you safely return man and machine back to Earth.
That's right. And that was actually there was a risk factor there. The space cowboy you mentioned, the test pilot coming back to Earth and then landing safely in the Mojave Plains. I mean, there's a lot of drama here and a lot of that. But and I definitely want to return to it, because there is a little episode in here that I loved with the meeting with Elon Musk down in Hollywood, or West Hollywood, actually. But I wanted to kind of turn a little bit brass tacks, because as a journalist, I'm sure you did a ton of research. You went through a lot of archive material and such. And I'm wondering what your take is right now, like on Galactic, SpaceX, Blue Origin, things like this, where the space is not crowded necessarily, but it is kind of high profile. So what's the dynamic like right now?
It is. And you have President Obama talking about, you know, getting to Mars. So it's really in the mainstream. We're really in this moment of... It's this kind of resurgence in this dream about space that people who grew up in the 60s experienced with the magic of Apollo. And, you know, with SpaceX, with Blue Origin, which is Jeff Bezos' company, with Virgin Galactic, which is, you know, a direct, you know, the technology that was used in Spaceship One, which the story told in this book, is used for Spaceship Two, which is Virgin Galactic. So you have these now billionaires who it's their dream. It's their dream to get to space. It's their dream to get there privately. Yes, contracting with the government, but really doing it in a very scrappy, entrepreneurial, step-by-step, but risk-taking way. There is a ton of risk involved, but, you know, all entrepreneurs take big risks. If you have a startup company, you know, you're going to take big risks.
Right. I was reading in your book about the relationship from looking outside at NASA. And then looking, you know, a little bit at NASA as kind of like they were shaming about let's prod this project. Are you seeing real momentum behind that movement?
Huge momentum. And again, when, you know, this story tells of how the rather, I mean, it's thriving relative to what it has been, the commercial space industry, you know, really how this industry came to be. You know, we have these fly on the wall scenes with Jeff Bezos, with Elon Musk, and with Richard Branson. But it's promising. You know, you have this, you have these billions committed, you have brilliance committed to getting there. And you have this, it's this zeitgeist right now,
yes,
as I see it. You know, it's kind of this tipping point where it's truly happening. This dream is on its way to being realized. It's not fantastical. It's not all science fiction.
We're speaking with Julian Guthrie. She is the author of How to Make a Spaceship, A Band of Renegades, An Epic Race, and boy, is it epic, and The Birth of Private Spaceflight. You mentioned Richard Branson. By the way, he did write the preface for your book.
He did.
You also have some other name, did the afterword. I'm looking for it.
Yeah, I mean, he's really not very well known. His name is Stephen Hawking.
Oh, that's right. So you start off with Richard Branson, you get a whole lot of Julian Guthrie and a wonderful tale in between, and you kind of end up with Stephen Hawking saying, yeah, she's right.
Well, Stephen Hawking, you know, his words actually brought me in certain places to tears, where he writes about how he's very much bound into this wheelchair that his life is in, but his mind has always been so far beyond that. And that's, you know, and how he's looking to get to the stars in his lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And he is looking to fly on Virgin Galactic. He has a free ticket to ride, so to speak.
Right.
I'm very humble. I'm very grateful about having Richard Branson write the foreword and Stephen Hawking write the afterword. And I hope it's a great story in between.
There are a lot of characters in between, and my understanding is there are a couple of things coming up, and you're giving a public talk?
So I have an event at the Commonwealth Club of in San Francisco this coming Monday, October 24th, and it's a really rare event where we have Eric Lindberg, the grandson of Charles Lindberg, coming in. We have Mike Melville, who's one of the coolest, most amazing people I know, great character in the book. He is the world's first commercial astronaut. He was 63 years old when he white-knuckled it to the start of space. How cool is that?
Right.
An inspiration. We have Matt Steinmetz, who was this young engineer, you know, 20-something years old, who took over this secret spaceship program in the desert for Burt Rutan. So come out, meet these people Monday night around 6 p.m. at the Commonwealth Club. It's going to be an amazing event. You can have books signed, talk to these people, bring your kids. Here's a chance to meet the world's first commercial astronaut, among others. I will also be there happily talking about the book.
It's a wonderful book, and thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you for having me.
That was our chat with Julian Guthrie. She is the author of How to Make a Spaceship, A Band of Renegades, An Epic Race, and The Birth of Private Space Flight. How to Make a Spaceship, more than just a book about rich people building commercial space vehicles. It's about bootstrapping. It's about entrepreneurial spirit and the dogged pursuit of dreams. It's a great read. Links to Julian Guthrie's books, as well as other stories around the pursuit of private space flight, are at Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. We also archive every segment of Techonomics at that Facebook page, as well as KGORadio.com/Techonomics. And if you're into the Twitter, I'm at KGO Jason. I tend to tweet the playlist of the music we play here. Those music links also go up at Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. Well, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Techonomics. We looked at the growing trend in business of using corporate anthropologists. We spotlighted a car sharing service that has serious backing and serious goals in an ever-crowding urban traffic grid. And we looked to the stars with an author's compelling look at the pursuit of private space flight. For executive producer of Techonomics, Mike Anthony, and producer Liana Wilcox, I'm Jason Middleton. Thanks for listening, and have great weeks.